Another week has gone by, and it's time once again. Well, let's just felt it. That's right. It's time for Female Encounters of the Live Kind. Here's Carrie and Alicia.
Carrie's Closet.
Carrie's Closet. Oh, what comes up?
Carrie's Closet.
Welcome to nice Female Encounters of the Live Kind. We're talking about Carrie's Closet.
Carrie's Closet.
Is that open to the public or what?
Actually,
hold on. You make a killing. Or a killing.
Sorry.
I don't know. I've been out for a while. I don't know.
I have a lot of stuff. Other stuff.
Oh, good for you.
Your closet is huge.
Her closet is
huge. I do. I have a long closet. We have a guest today, if you're wondering who Carrie's talking to.
He's the dentist that I can't see the last name.
Would you please introduce yourself, sir?
Hi, I'm Dr. Max Wahosky. And I work over at Red Rock Dental on Main Street in Farmington, next to the Baskin Robbins.
Nice. How long have you been there?
I started August of, 2022
or
2021. I've been here about 2.5 years now.
Okay. Where are you from?
So, I say I'm from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I spent 9 to 23 there. I'm originally from California.
That's a good stretch, though.
Yeah. I'm originally from California, born outside of Oakland, moved to Ohio when I was 1, moved to Tennessee when I was 5, moved to Louisiana when I was 9.
What did your parents do?
So my dad was actually a pulp and paper engineer, worked in, like, paper plants.
Oh, yeah, pulp and paper.
Paper. So he worked for... Georgia Pacific. Well, we worked for several. Georgia Pacific is what landed us in Louisiana. Yeah, make let's see, Brawny is their paper towel, and then Quilted Northern or Angel Soft are their paper towel.
Nice.
I mean, toilet paper.
I bet that retirement that he got was pretty good, was it?
Yeah. And then he retired from Georgia Pacific, and then my parents moved to Florida, and they bought some property on the bay in outside of Destin. We're supposed to build a tiny little cottage, and somehow it blew up into it got increased in size into this, like, fairly large house. So then he went and took another job again. And, yeah, so he was a mill manager of a paper plant for a number of years. So then he went, I forget the name, someplace up in Virginia, and had a small one for a while there. And then he went to Ohio, and then last... November, he retired this time, I think, for good.
Oh, yeah. He definitely had a niche. Paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. What got you into dentistry?
So I always wanted to do something sort of like medicine-based. It's always... I initially wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon, but first my uncle was a cardiologist, and he told me to look into dentistry instead.
Yeah.
And then... I shadowed, like, several doctors and dentists in high school and college, and half the doctors told me to become a dentist. Every dentist was like, I love my life. And so
you're like, well, that's proof in the pudding. If someone who's actually doing this is saying they love their life, that's, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
Terrible kinds of questions.
There's, like, also a bit of an artistry still with dentistry. There is definitely a hand skill involved.
That's true.
And I'm not going to say it definitely probably medicine within surgery that definitely applies to, but definitely dentistry, there is quite a bit of.
Right. Well, and most of the time in surgery, they're not conscious for it, but in dentistry, I mean, I've had 2 root canals personally.
I just got done with one cut right before here.
I broke my jaw in high school, and so it shattered this whole side of my face.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a root canal on this one and this one. So this is all metal. So anytime I go in and they take my x-rays, if I am at a new dentist or whatever, they're like, huh, are those screws? I'm like, yes, they are.
Yep. A lot of people think root canals are only from cavities, but also from trauma.
Yep.
My front tooth is root canaled. Don't know exactly what happened. My brother, it's either from my brother punching me in the face or football practice, something
Your brother,
of that sort.
Definitely.
Yeah. I fought my brother pretty much every single day growing up.
Yeah.
He's three years and 1 day older than me.
Okay. So, little brother, was he picking on you?
Oh, yeah. We went constantly. That's why I hated my birthday sort of a bit growing up, because my parents always did the double birthday, since we're literally 1 day. So then it was like
birthday?
My brother, September 22nd, he's the 21st.
My dad's was the 21st.
Okay, so yeah. And so we always had a combined birthday party, and his friends and him beat up on me and my friends always.
See, all my siblings had the same, like, they're still... I mean, they're still here.
they still have all the same birthdays. Everyone's right there. And I'm the only, like, random one in the fall. So it makes me think, like, that was my mom's mating season? Like, what was... I mean,
oh, absolutely.
All of her kids
people are creatures
be,
of habit.
I mean, wow. But brothers, yeah, I mean, it's a given. You have to beat the shit out of your siblings, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't really say you had a sibling if you're not...
I think that probably just means that you got the shit beat out of you. Because I did not.
So, no.
If that makes you feel better, then yes.
Oh, no, I beat the shit out of mine.
I know.
They didn't beat me, I beat them.
I know. Yeah. Anyway, what were your questions?
Okay,
go ahead.
Question. So I went to the dentist yesterday, day before.
Really? Just for this interview?
No.
Research. Okay, my bad. I'm like, dang, Carrie committed. Go.
But, okay, so and I was in ICU for whatever a little bit.
Not because of the dentist.
No, not because of the dentist. Let's clear that up. The dentist had nothing to do with it, I don't think. Anyway,
no.
Who cleans teeth of people in ICU? Like, how was that, like... When I was in there, did somebody brush my teeth? Like,
no. Nurses are trained to do that. But whether the actually gets done, but they are supposed to be
so
brushing people's teeth.
Like,
yeah, if you were...
I'm going to interject.
No.
Oh, okay. When you're in ICU, the last thing that is on the list of important things is probably brushing your teeth.
No, it's actually fairly high because you
is
don't
it?
Want...
Like
so
it,
well, if you're on like a ventilator or something like that, what you or yeah. but you don't want any type
in,
of your
right?
because you're breathing through your mouth. If you breathe through your mouth, there's a higher chance of bacteria, and
okay.
then you can also they just want to brush your teeth to make sure that you don't inhale any type of bacteria, which
okay.
could then land somewhere and colonize, especially
right, so
if you have
question.
Something.
Like, when I was in the hospital, did anyone brush my teeth? I brush my teeth. I don't know.
Someone should have, whether or not sometimes you know that stuff slips, but
they probably charged you.
But they're, yeah, they're probably insane about it.
Yeah, they're like, this is a code 4800. You
brush
your teeth.
With a French fry, who knows? I don't know.
Spit in her mouth.
Oh.
Sorry, yeah, that was too much.
No, that was, okay, that was my question. Okay, my other question, I'm just going to go there.
That's your MO.
Oh, stop. The whole, like, I don't even know how to word this without sounding obnoxious, but how do you put your... Okay, I'm just going to shut up.
No, say it.
Yeah,
you
have to finish the question.
Okay. Proctology, gynecology, dentistry, orthodontist.
So,
I mean, how do you... Like, you're putting your hands in someone. Like, that's just not right.
Are you talking about intrusive...
Yeah. Just to like, how do you deal with putting your hands in someone's mouth? Deal with the saliva and
part of them.
You hate hugs, dude.
Okay, well that's why I could never be a doctor or I mean anything like a proctologist, gynecologist. You're putting your hands in someone. That's just not right.
But you don't
unless you're hiding drugs to go over the border on a dead body. What the hell? Okay, carry on. Sorry,
I mean,
doctor, how do you get over that? Or is it just me having my own me phobia thing about...
You go from 0 to 1,000, I swear.
Sounds a bit more of a phobia, but at the certain stance, I'll put it in a different perspective. I get some people who will ask me, oh, so do you love teeth? Is that why you became a dentist? And it's like, honestly, no, I don't love teeth, but they don't bother me. So it's something that's like,
yeah.
I can just know I can do. And I mean, there's
yeah,
a lot of other benefits. So part of also why, if we want to go circle back to why I wanted to become a dentist, was that, well, my dad had a good living being a pulp and paper engineer. We moved about every 4 years because you had to follow where the pulp and paper is, which he started out in Montana, but the paper industry has shrunk now to the south, particularly in the southeast where you can grow pine trees in 20 years compared to the Pacific Northwest.
Everything's digital now,
and
right?
So. No, there's still, I mean, you need paper towels, toilet paper. Copy paper, yeah, has dropped off significantly, but I mean, like, the bulkhead is honestly paper.
So did you digitally wipe your ass?
But, well, he had provided for a fairly nice living for me.
Yeah.
I did not like having to move, so one of the benefits of dentistry is of it fairly allows you to be able to pick where in your country and where you want to live.
And it's always in demand. It's always...
I love snow skiing, and so this is
perfect.
Fairly as close as I, coming out of school, could get towards a mountain.
Well, cool. I'm glad that you chose here. Your wife, who we interviewed 2 weeks ago, I was asking her why you guys moved here, and Farmington is nice. It's not as expensive as Durango. It's not as... Yuppie. Rude? I don't know. How do I say this nicely?
Yeah,
you get it, right?
It's also considered an underserved community medically. And so I went to LECOM for a dental school, Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine. However, the dental school is in Florida, but that's another story. But I had to take a pledge to serve an underserved community. They don't actually enforce it, but I did feel like I should do that.
Yes,
and
of course.
Between coming to an underserved community and also being able to snow ski and snowboard nearby.
So this place that you're at, you said you started in 21, was that your first place that you started?
I came straight out of school here.
Okay, so did you come here and had the job already, or did you come here and then get the job?
No, I had the job already.
Secured, you had it
so,
in the back.
Yeah, I, okay. My boss hired me, and so between him and another dentist.
Right.
And, the other one, like, left it off at a very weird stage of, ended our conversation with, well, if you're ever in New Mexico, you should visit me. And that was it. And, like, I didn't realize that was, like, an interview and he was wanting to hire me. And so my boss, when we got off, like, he ended the phone call with, I like you, I'm going to send over a contract.
And yeah,
I
was that's just like, very black and white.
Like, okay, and I was just like,
I don't have to.
And so. It's nice. I've worked in a heavily Medicaid clinic serving the underserved, but I've been able to pick up my skills, and I've always done quality work, but the biggest one now is that I can do quality work faster. I see quite a fairly high significant patient flow compared to some other people that my other friends that we talk to. When I compare the amount of patients, always see, but like, unfortunately, within a Medicaid office, you have to try to staff it fairly, like, high to keep to be able to keep it profitable. But it's just
so on an average day, how many patients?
So I see, there's treatment patients, and then there's like exam patients I see, and so I see on average, I would say about 15 to 17 treatment patients a day, and then I'm doing about 20 to 25 exams. So a treatment patient is someone I'm doing a cavity filling on, crown prepping.
You've already diagnosed the problem, you're getting in there.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm addressing a problem, making the actual denture. An exam is someone who's coming in for their 6 month or year hygiene cleanings. You're getting your teeth clean, but I'm also coming in doing an exam. The other one would be a new patient exam, someone coming to the office for the very first time. I sit down, have to figure out what their concerns are, figure out what type of decay or any other problems that might be present, and come up with a treatment plan and then review that with
this
them.
This might be a juvenile question, but do you still have laughing gas?
Oh yeah, it's called nitrous oxide, and I use it.
You still use that?
Oh, I use it quite a bit, especially for children. It really can help calm children down.
Okay. Because I've never had it. I've only ever had the needle.
Okay, you know? And I mean, you still use the needle, but the nitrous oxide helps calm patients down, especially kids.
Yeah.
And the big thing is there's a true mental component to pain, and so if you truly believe you're gonna feel and you're really scared, even if I can get someone numb, they'll still feel, the brain will make them feel it. So like with nitrous oxide, you can honestly calm them down in a state where it makes that more, or like sometimes I'll have to extract teeth on kids, whether it be for make room for braces, or if it's sometimes just because of heavily decayed teeth that you have to get out there. And like they'll start crying and be so scared about it, because like I honestly know with the amount of anesthetic gave within a safe amount, but I know they are very solidly numb. There's no chance at all that they're feeling this.
Yeah.
But the idea itself is so frightening that occasionally.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So nitrous oxide, I like it as a tool because I don't always use it, but for certain ones that have that high anxiety, that sometimes then I'll put it on for a good 10 minutes. I leave the room, just try to let them calm down, and I'll come back, and then at that point it's good to go, and they're completely, like nothing has changed in the mount. I haven't given them any more anesthetic, so they weren't feeling it to begin with. It was just
it was
in
just
that
in their head.
That head.
I was one of those that had like extra teeth.
How often does that happen? Like, I had teeth all over.
That's when you have that many oligodontia. Yeah, and
that's pretty rare.
The extra teeth is fairly rare. I mean, you might have like the most common extra tooth is what we call a mesiodens, and it's a small tooth that's in between the two front teeth.
Should have left it.
That's the most common tooth.
I had teeth, and then I had like the baby teeth or whatever they're called, and no adult. So they had to close over the gap.
Okay. So yeah.
But I remember my dentist like on top of me because it was one of these like teeth that would not come out. I think the root was all in the brain. But he was pulling on it so damn hard. I was little. But it came out. But he had to actually get up out of his chair and kind of use his body weight to get out. And I just remember having all the little bitty trunks.
Yeah.
Do you guys still use the trunks? No, I mean, I guess it's good now. I don't have a bunch of teeth.
What do you mean by, like
the little trunks when you like use a tooth?
Oh, yeah. We have ones that are shaped like a tooth that we put ours in.
Plastic lockets? Is that what you're talking about? Plastic little container.
And so it's like I think of a tiny little treasure chest that you could put teeth in.
Yeah.
You know, ours are actually shaped like a molar that the top opens up.
Which I would have appreciated that. I cleaned out my parents' storage. And you know how many teeth I found?
I found that with my parents, and I thought that was so weird. And my mom was like,
"Yeah,
I have my kids' baby teeth. I mean,
that's what we were talking about."
But if it was shaped like a tooth, I would have known what I was getting into. It's like a freaking oak box. And
did they plan to make a necklace with them? What? Right? Why are they keeping baby teeth? Why did you keep your children's baby?
Just because it was in the middle of the night, the tooth fairy didn't know what to do with them.
So you're lazy. You just have it still.
So the tooth fairy goes and does her, you know, his thing under the pillow and blah, blah, blah. And then you come downstairs and it's midnight and you want to go to bed and you're like, what the hell do I do with this tooth? So I just toss him in a drawer.
At this point, they're too dried out, but I guess the thing you can do is if there's a dental school or dental hygiene school nearby, you can always drop them off. They can use them for...
The tooth fairy can be, like...
Some programs might. I mean, I had problems. You had to bring certain amount of extracted teeth into dental school as, like, a requirement.
Because that you would have...
No, because you would eventually practice on them. But the problem I had was... It's hard to have like certain teeth that are extracted in good condition because you're normally not trying to pull good, like pulling good teeth. So like, so many of my extracted, I don't know, I've never heard of that. I just contacted like an oral surgeon and went to his office and then had like a bunch.
I feel like that's a moral. That's too much. Cadaver teeth? I can't do that. I don't know, my mom, when she passed away, she donated her body to science.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure her, like, cousins were on board. She didn't oppose. I don't know. But I still have a bunch of my kids' teeth.
But you didn't do it out of, like, you're proud.
No, like, I just
my parents
to go to
like
bed,
wrote
and
it in the book, and like put
no,
it
I didn't
take
it.
Like,
see, that's how my parents were when I was going through. My mom asked me that she like, so they moved and they were pretty much like, you have to take your child stuff or we're throwing them away. So that's like when I started going through. I'm like, I don't want this in any circumstance.
I'm sorry, I was the most responsible in kindergarten because I put the crayons away. Like, why'd you keep this? Like, I have all kinds of shit like that. It's bad.
I think I have at least of my litter. I think I have each one of their first teeth.
Makes me want to smell that.
And then I have random teeth, and I don't even remember who's whose anymore.
Well, this explains a lot because when I opened your drawer to get a utensil, I thought, "Damn, that looks like a tooth." I moved on
because
I thought, "There's no way." But now,
well, and the worst part is like they never lose their teeth, and you're like, "Why the ATM?"
What was on my spoon? What?
And you can't write them a check. So it's like they lose their tooth right
the
before
tooth
bed.
Fairy, you're writing check.
I know. They lose their tooth right before bedtime, and you're like, I'm not. Okay. Maybe if I can't go to the ATM, I'm not breaking. How do you break a 20? Not getting a 20. So then you have to go in their room and search everything while they're asleep to find what the tooth fairy was last time. Let's recycle that same $5
bill. Tooth fairy was a dollar.
Yeah, I thought it was always a dollar.
There's inflation. I think I got a quarter.
Inflation in the tooth fairy inflation.
My kids now get $5.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you set the precedent, so whatever. It wasn't me. It was their dad.
Oh, awesome. Get in. Yeah. Do you have kids? Do you guys have kids?
No, not yet. Kids? We do. Okay. But
oh, I have some. Do you want some?
Free teeth.
I still am not a homeowner yet, so that's what we're trying to first focus on achieving that hard American goal.
So whenever you have kids, what are you going to do with their first tooth?
Wow. Way to put the carriage in front of the horse.
Well, yeah, I did.
Probably not save it.
I am totally with that. I'm all about that. Why?
I don't know. I did. But I also saw them as little razor blades because I was nursing.
I guess I could save them and then set them in stone and make almost like an actual model of their teeth. That you could then potentially, I don't know. That would still be just weird. I don't know why I'd do that.
You could make like a tooth Rubik's cube, sort of. No,
toothy
cube.
Yeah, probably not keep it honestly. See enough teeth cut every single day coming on out.
So you guys looking for houses around here?
Oh yeah, so we've been looking. Yeah, sort of perusing. Still.
Well, I think
early in the process.
Interest rates are going down. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's
spring is usually when the market turns around, right?
I say spring is sprung. I don't know what season is the best to buy a house, but I think if you want a house and you need a house, just get a house. So there.
Yeah, and it's trying to find that one that you
so
know.
You guys renting
that,
right now?
Yeah, we are renting. I'm renting. I think it's called Sunrise. It's like where North Dustin and Pinion meet.
Wasn't that the poop group that you were talking about?
Yeah, we couldn't find a house at all moving here, and like pretty much right before we had to come, like that one all of a sudden we saw was available, and so thankfully we ended up getting it. And so we're in our third year now in that house.
So
which
I bought a house 3 years ago, and it was in that climate of like it's on the market, got to get it now. People were buying it sight unseen, like
waiving the inspections.
Yeah,
which,
like they don't care. They're just
which
giving.
Yeah, my mom was a realtor for many years, and her number one thing is like never waiving an inspection.
Yeah, it's like asking for trouble. No, thank you. But yeah, I looked at a house. It was on the market that day, and I put in an offer that day. It was what they were asking for. Normally, I would have negotiated. Housing.
Yeah. And it was like, well, this person put in an offer and you did too, and I'm like, screw that person.
So your mom was in real estate. That's
She was in real estate.
That's a good occupation for traveling.
Yeah, she was in.
Well, I guess she didn't really get a chance to get clientele.
Well, she was in it for years before. And like, as I started growing up, she sort of phased on out, and then trying to remember, then she sort of like, I guess when I was in high school, sort of got back on into it, and then retired before my dad retired.
No. Okay, now I have another question. Talking about your mom, so you know, like license difference, right? So you can have your realtor license in Colorado versus New Mexico. Your dentistry license, that's all the states?
No,
like,
no, that's very state specific. So
what's the difference? Like,
oh, you have to take
my New Mexico dentist and then like Colorado, Utah.
I mean, just the fact that they have that each state requires its own license. Each state has its own regulatory board and like that. No, you have to pretty much get one for each state. There are talks of like getting one eventually that, you know, that is more like universal, but each state does, because the dentistry laws are made on like the state level as opposed to a federal level, so each state. And so, I mean, it's becoming more uniform. Like, for there's a certain exam to become, to be able to get certified as a dentist. And it used to be that almost every state had their own exam. And now there's one called ADEX, which I think it's the American Dental.
So it's pretty much across the board.
But that one is most states. But there are still several states that have their own sort of holdout that want their own weird. Yeah, that sort of is. Yeah, so it's on the state level that the laws are made. So you have, but you can have your degree, like your license in multiple states. You're not just limited one.
Yeah, you're capable of it.
I've been,
never knew that. Because I know, like, with the teacher thing and, you know, some other professions, it's specific.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I thought medical was
And so, I mean, like, my degree and like my and my recognition of the boards is like seen by every state, but then to actually get a license, I then have to apply for that state. Huh. It's really just paying the state money, as well as then you have to take a test on like the jurisprudence, like specifically the dental laws pertaining to that state. And because the laws are made on that state level, each state differs, so you do have to sort of learn them.
Okay. Pretend for a second. I am a younger woman who's going into the field that I don't know. I'm going to either be a dentist or something else. Would you be one of those people that I interviewed or talked to that would say, I love my life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there is. I truly believe that what I've heard and stuff, I've missed out on the true golden age of dentistry. I came out of just the reality of dentistry now is you're going to come out with a very significant debt load. When I tried to ask some of the older dentists that I worked for or were like friends with family-wise about advice, they really all were like, I can't give you any type of advice.
Why do you think that is? What was the shift?
I believe, honestly, and I don't know if this is true or not, I heard it was that the government started making student loans much more accessible, and when they became much more accessible, every university started increasing the amount of money they could charge, and it just sort of exponentially skyrocketed. However, I've also been told that dental schools are not profitable, that you actually, almost every dental school is losing money. How true or not, I don't know that is, but I had several professors sort of tell me that operate. I've heard medical schools are actually profitable, but dental schools specifically aren't profitable. There's a considerable amount of, like, cost with the in the material-wise in the dental that you're using, especially then in training people.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Once again, I don't know how true that is. It's just what professors, when I was in dental school, told me.
Yeah, because, like, when you said that, and I thought about it, I'm like,
the demand.
Yeah.
Oh, people's mouths?
Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, as sugar becomes ever increasingly more present in our diets and stuff, the decays there.
But
I, from experience, I used to manage Sears stores.
So I'm going to spitball and talk about some dental hygiene tips that I would actually recommend.
Please do.
Especially with how busy I am, I don't get as much time as I would like to discuss with some of my patients, all the different. So my recommended brushing technique that I recommend, so in the morning, I just brush my teeth.
Right.
However, at night, I clean my teeth in this very specific fashion. I'll explain the reasoning I would recommend people cleaning their mouth in this ways. The first thing you're gonna do is floss or some form of interproximal cleaning between the teeth. Well, you can also use something like a proxy brush or like an interdental brush.
Water pick?
Oh, water picks work as well. They also make something that's called a proxy brush, or you have the one you can get in grocery stores or anywhere you buy toothpaste is the gum. Advanced soft picks.
Yeah.
Sort of looks like a curved Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You put it's similar to floss that you put it right between the teeth and go in and out. I actually really like those because the thing with flossing is you have to maintain a perfect C shape around the tooth, and you need to go C-shaped down, come back up, and then you go in between the same teeth, make a C shape against the other side and come back. So flossing is great, but it is technique sensitive. So the interdental brushes actually, like, you just go put them in and out, and they're all not technique sensitive. So there are studies that show they are in some form because of that more effective than flossing. I mean, I use both. The one downside to the interdental brushes are if you have sort of crowding, crooked teeth, sometimes you can't get them between certain teeth. Well, flossing still works. Water picks are also a great alternative. So I like to, first you're going to floss or interdental cleaning, and that's going to get the stuff in between your teeth out or at least loose enough. Then the second thing you're going to follow that up with is then use a mouthwash that contains fluoride. The mouthwash will help get rid of whatever is loosened up but not taken out by the floss or interdental cleaning. And additionally, if your mouthwash has fluoride in it, it's going to bring fluoride into that interproximal contact area a little bit better than where toothpaste can get into. And the fluoride is going to help remineralize or rebuild your teeth.
Okay.
After that, you're going to brush your teeth containing a fluoride-containing toothpaste. You need to brush for 2 minutes or longer. And here's a really important part, and I actually didn't know this part until I got into dental school. Once you're done brushing your teeth, you need to spit all of that excess toothpaste out. But then you do not want to rinse with water or mouthwash. Yeah, the reasoning being that if you're using a fluoride-containing toothpaste and then you rinse with water or your mouthwash, you then rinse off all the fluoride. And you want the fluoride on your teeth for as long as possible. Fluoride does two things that really help. There's a constant battle in your mouth between what we call demineralization and remineralization. And when the pH in your mouth drops below 5.5, the calcium and phosphate ions that are in your enamel leach out of your teeth into your saliva, which causes demineralization. Left unchecked and continuing on, demineralization leads to cavities.
Okay, so I'm never going to kiss anyone.
Once that pH level goes back above 5.5, the calcium and phosphate ions from your saliva actually go back into your teeth. However, that happens at a much slower rate than the reverse process. So fluoride actually catalyzes or increases the rate of your remineralization process. The second thing fluoride does is, as that remineralization process happens, your enamel is made of what we call hydroxyapatite. And so it fluoride can kick off the hydroxyl OH minus ion and replace it with the fluoride ion, and it forms fluoride apatite. And so that is forms a structure that is physically stronger, it's more resistant to scratching and breaking, but the big one is it does not demineralize to a pH of 4.5. So that means it's over 10 times more acid resistant than your actual enamel, so which is why we like fluoride and recommend it.
Well, I know they, in school, it was fluoride day and you had a little color.
Yeah, and so it helps.
Okay.
So that's why, and so anyways, yeah, you spit that on. That's why if you rinse, you get that. If you brush your teeth and then immediately rinse, you're getting that you clean your teeth, but then you don't get that rebuilding, restoring effect that we really want. What interesting, especially since we live somewhere right just south of Colorado, an interesting story I love telling of how fluoride was discovered was, I'm blanking on the dentist's name, but in the 1800s he moved to some Colorado mining town, and what he noticed was everyone in this town had these brown mottled spotted teeth. But no one had cavities in this town, which was like mind-blowing to this dentist at this time, which, because everywhere you went, everyone's teeth were just rotting out at
That's
that time
poorly.
Period. And so fluorosis is too much fluoride, and it can cause like staining of your teeth. And so certain amount of fluoride is good, but absolutely like too much is bad. But I mean, the amount you get from just drinking regular tap water as well as getting fluoride at the dentist is nowhere near, you know, that amount. The only way you really get that is if it's heavily naturally occurring and you're drinking well water. And so he wrote about his findings, and he just didn't really know, he wrote about it. So he then gets contacted by a dentist in France who read his, like, article, and he asked him to test the water for fluoride. And the guy tests it, and it's like off the charts. And apparently this dentist in France, in the mountains of France, had found a very similar thing, but never like published it in anything. And what he had found was high fluoride. So when they then realized that amount, and so then at a certain point, then we realized at certain levels, you know, it helps.
Yeah, at certain
your
levels.
Teeth.
Because
it's now.
That's certain levels.
And it's funny, especially when I hear about big fluoride, because it's literally like, it is not profitable. Like, I am in no way like making money off it. It would literally be beneficial, like in a
profit.
Yeah, in a like profitability sense, it'd be better for me not to recommend fluoride at all, because then more cavities would happen. But I mean, that's unethical. But that's unethical. Like, I'm
not.
Like, honestly, like. If it was that I just every day just only did exams and all I told everyone their teeth are great, that would be great. Yeah, like, it would be a lot easier and less stressful than my current.
You have bamboozled her.
Wow, like, I'm speechless.
I very rarely test everything. I mean,
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us today.
You probably did. Do you have any parting words?
Yeah,
you should go and talk to all the schools.
You, I like you. You are a very passionate person, and I can tell that you are knowledgeable.
My mind is blown right now.
It's very
nice. So, is there any sports talk happening? I thought I was told that we might discuss some sports.
Well, here's the thing. You're going to have to come back for that because we're at our limit.
Okay. We can come back because we were going to talk sports.
All right, real quick, who are you pulling for? Who are you pulling for in the Super Bowl, and who do you think will win
Chiefs,
the Super Bowl?
Chiefs.
So you're both pulling for it and
like
think.
The 49ers.
I'm like, hey, I'm
okay. See, I.
They are the Red Cowboys to me.
Okay, so growing up, I was a huge 49ers fan, but I then was always a 49ers Vikings fan because my dad's from Minnesota, Minneapolis, and then I was born outside of San Francisco, Oakland area. But I'm a huge Saints fan because that's where I ended up growing up. I lived in Los Angeles for a little bit, and 49ers fans I encountered in Los Angeles were some of the most awful people I ever met that made me no longer like the 49ers. However, at this point, I think I've finally gotten over it. I'm still pulling for the 49ers, but I think the Chiefs are going to win.
I mean, that's what it's all about.
Do you have any team that you need to
football?
You're going to come back and we're going to talk about it.
Football is the thing I can discuss most. I like pro basketball. Don't follow college basketball as much, probably because LSU sucks.
Yeah.
And then I'm in the inverse for baseball. I like college baseball, but I don't really care about pro baseball, probably because growing up in Louisiana, we didn't have a pro baseball team. I vaguely say I like the Rockies as far as baseball goes, but like I used to enjoy, when I lived in Denver, enjoyed going to getting drunk at the Rockies game, but they're not like...
you will have to join us again because I would like to talk sports with you. And until you said that, I was really into the tennis thing and I totally forgot about sports.
Since we're about to go, I will do one last plug for Red Rock Dental here in Farmington, New Mexico. Once again, we're on Main Street and 20th. We're right next to the Baskin Robbins in that shopping center, and we take every insurance, Colorado and New Mexico Medicaid as well. We do quality dental work. We do implants, Invisalign, whitening, root canals. Yeah, we do pretty much everything there, and family dentistry, and we'll take care of you.
Yeah,
you know.
From the Saturday because if you're a board member.
Yeah.
Join us next week when we will talk to the dentist about football.
I haven't done anything.
Maybe basketball.
I don't know, Rick.
That's it for today. They'll be back next Friday with a brand new edition. In the meantime, don't hold any of their sponsors accountable. They are not responsible for anything that may slip out of one of their mouths.
This program is sole property of IntoWest Concepts, all rights reserved. For permission to use any of the programming, contact IntoWestConcepts.com.
Your input is appreciated. Just email us at InterWestConcepts.com. That's InterWestConcepts.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Be excellent to each other.
Always wear your clean underwear.